Very first, Srila, 2023, Rakhandam. And we're going to read something about tasting Bhakti Rasa Manji Bhava Sadhana. This is a theme of discussion we're reading from this book. Acting as a way of salvation. And we're going to read other books also. So everyone is sleeping from New Year's party. Sorry, only a few people here. Had a good time last night. The goal of Raghunuga Bhakti is too loud, man. It's only five people here. Don't need any microphone at all. The goal of Raghunuga Bhakti is a shift from ordinary world. Right. From ordinary world of everyday life to the ultimate reality of Brajalila. Intentional formation of a new identity which is intimately connected to the world of meaning as expressed as Braj. The assumption of a new identity is a crucial feature of Raghunuga Bhakti. That's easier said than done. Assuming taking on a new identity is the essential, a crucial feature of Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana. So for millions of untold births, we've been absorbed in the wrong external identity, material identity. Gaudiya Vaishnavas achieve the world of Braj by assuming an identity which locates them in that world. The goal is to become so totally identified with the character of Brajalila that one actually is that character. The total identification of absorption in the world of Radha Krishna, this is the goal of Raghu Bhakti. We have to forget our old self completely and permanently become thoroughly absorbed in our true identity, our siddha-rupa as a gopi. The goal of Raghunuga Bhakti is complete identification with a transcendent role model. So our role model is Tulsi Manjri, Rupa Manjri. The devotee is like an actor in a drama or a movie who seeks to play the role so well and effectively that one completely identifies with the role and discovers his true identity. So we're identifying with Tulsi Manjri, Rupa Manjri, and we become Tulsi Manjri. It's pretty fortunate, beautiful, special Manjri Gopi, and we have to become that also, a special fortunate, special Manjri of Radharani. The Raghunuga Bhakta does not so much spend time on trying to forget himself or herself as opposed to discover our real self. That's what's the most amazing thing. We heard a lecture the other day, someone asked the question, who's older? Is Krishna, are you as old as Krishna? What's the answer? Are you as old as Krishna? What's the answer?
No.
How is it possible? The answer is yes, we are as old as Krishna. Krishna himself says in Gita in chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 24, he says, never a time when I did not exist or you knew all these kings. And he says, I'm not born, you're not born, we'll never die. So that's an amazing thing to realize. The basic scenario is like this. We have for eternal time, we've had two bodies. We have one body in the Maya Jagat and one body in the spiritual realm. The only body we know about is the material body. But there's another, we're eternally here, but we can get out of here, and we're eternally in the spiritual world, but we're not aware of it. And all those spiritual bodies are there, they're dormant, not dormant, they're just waiting. It's described, everyone who writes about it just says they're waiting there. There's unlimited spiritual bodies just waiting. Some analogies are given by different acharyas, which are interesting. They said it's like so many new cars in a showroom. One of those cars may be yours, maybe not. But when you pay the debt, when you pay the money and get the key, put it, then you drive it away. That's your car. So when we get prema and we enter the spiritual world, they take us down the line. Say, "There's your car. Get in it. Take it away. There's your spiritual body." So it's amazing to think I'm here. I know that. That's very obvious to me. But it's not so obvious, but it's also equally true. I'm also in the spiritual world. And it's real me, it's eternal me. I have to get there. I have to realize that identity by a process of mercy, receiving mercy, and doing bhajan, raghunuga bhajan. So complete identification with a transcendent model. He says the goal of raghunuga bhakti is to discover one's true self. Discovery and realization of true identity, abhiman, which connects the bhakti to Krishna and connects one to the world of Braj. I mean, like some people say, "Oh, I have to live in Europe, I can't live in Vrindavan, you're so fortunate." I said, "What do you mean? You're in Vrindavan. Your siddha is in Vrindavan. Don't you see it? Can you see it?" "No, I don't see it." That's the problem. Vision and consciousness is a problem. You change your vision, you change your consciousness, then you're in Vrindavan. So I hope. Mralika is on the scene. Is that right? Yes, I think it's her. Can't see all under all the shutters or anything. You made it. You're alive. In Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami describes that the idea of anuga also includes anukar. Anuga means imitation plus something else. So, here's an example. Anukar means imitation. Merely imitating, anukar. Like we say we should anusar, not anukar. So Pudna merely imitated a nursemaid of Krishna, although her intention was to kill him, and she attained salvation. In Raghunuga Bhakti, anukar is something more than mere imitation. It's something more, is the right intention. Sign? It's on. Thank you. So it's more than imitation. We're supposed to imitate Tulsi Manjari, but what is something extra is added? Intention. He said, this is Jiva Goswami's explanation. We have to have the right intention. The intention of gaining the emotional state of the model one is imitating. In other words, we get a siddhadeya. We have a form like Tulsi Manjari, given by Guru, revealed by Krishna. But then we have to have intention, we have to have the intention, which means we have the form of siddhadeya, but we don't have siddhabhava. So we have to have the same intention, the same emotions and feelings of Tulsi Manjari. So as we've said so many times, and Anandadas Babaji has also told us so many times, how do we understand the intentions, the abhiman, the mentality, and the feelings of Tulsi Manjari? by reading the books of Tulsi Manji, reading the books of Raghunath Das Goswami, translating them into Russian, Italian, or whatever, and meditating on that subject and praying for their mercy. It's only by revelation, it only comes down by their mercy that we'll actually attain that bhav. Without the bhav, we can't get anywhere. So imitation includes a particular intention. We have to realize the world that one is imitating. Okay, and Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga is the means by which the bhakti becomes a player in Krishna's lila. Player. Dasi Manjari. Player. Rupa Goswami defines in Bhakti Rasa Sindhu two paths of Rag Bhakti. Imitation of amorous bhakti, Kamanuga. The first form consists of direct sexual enjoyment with Krishna called Sambhoga Ichamayi. The second is desire to share in the emotions of one of the gopis. To share in the emotions, to experience emotions. Tat tad bhav ichatmika. The goal of Sambhoga Ichamayi is amorous involvement directly with Krishna. The goal of tat tad bhav ichatmika is vicarious enjoyment of emotional experience of one of the original gopis of Raj, almost exclusively Radharani. So Manjri Bhav, Asarika takes the role of a less direct but potentially more intense position to become a friend of one of the Nayakas or Yudhishthiras, Radharani. Thereby, the Manjri witnesses Radharani's love affairs as a supportive spectator. That's pretty interesting. It's an amazing concept when you think about it. Because usually in the material world, love affairs of a man and woman, there's no audience, there's no spectators. Unless you're making blue movies or something like that, which most people aren't doing. But this is an amazing world. There's this most intimate, confidential exchanges of love with Krishna and Radharani are shared by an audience, by spectators. They're not spectators, they're amsas of Radharani. They're amsas of her loving service. Some are direct expansion of Radharani, and some are the sadhana siddha gopas, sadhana siddha manjaris. But it's a nice phrase, he says, they're supportive spectators. But we're not spectators, because you go to a soccer match or a cricket match, and you sit in the bleachers, sit in the stadium, you're supporting and cheering, you know, but you're not playing on the field. So the difference is the manjaris are supporting by serving. They're not spectating. They're feeling what Radharani's feeling and serving her needs one by one. Now obviously they have eyes so they see what's going on. They have ears to hear what's going on. And they feel what's going on. And they experience what's going on. So the manjaris of Radharani, they witness her love affairs directly with Krishna as a supportive servant. A dasi. So the manjaris serve the divine couple by bringing about their union. You can think of it like this. The Nayakas, Yudhishthiras like Radharani, are the principal actress, and the Sakis manjaris are supporting actresses. Supporting actresses. The tat-tat-tat-tat bhavichatmika manjri bhav is that bhakti which consists of desire to help bring about and vicariously enjoy, which is called anumodan, the special mingling of the bodies of Radharani with Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes the tat, this is Mantri's bhava, it's tat tat bhava chatmika. It's the desire to share in the special emotions of one's favorite lady and braj, and therefore is praised as the primary mode of Kamanuga Bhakti. Although Rupa Goswami presents both Sambhog and Bhava Chatmika as equal, Jiva Goswami emphasizes Tat Bhava Chatmika, Mantri Bhava. Raganuga Sarakas dramatically imitate and conform themselves to a role presented by a particular original character in Braj. But they should not think that they're that original character. I'm not Tulsi Manjari, I'm not Rupa Manjari. I'm Sundari Manjari or Malika Manjari or whatever Manjari. We are. We are a gopi with a distinct name and identity. I have a direct relation with Krishna, but I don't become Radharani. That's clear. A Raganuga Sarika is considered successful if a Sarika becomes an inhabitant, becomes a Rishvasi, but not one of the original Rishvasis. The goal of this indirect approach is total emotional identification with Radharani. Emotional identity with Radharani is a characteristic of the Sakis who are more devoted to Radha than to Krishna. Right? Radha Snehari. The particular quality, this is a very important point, the emotional identity with, this is what Mantris have to have, emotional identity with Radharani. This quality, the particular quality which allows the unity of emotion between friends is said to be a trust. It's called Vishramba. Rupa Goswami defines Vishramba Bhav as a special confidential communication. This is an amazing idea. This meaning of Vishramba means a deep trust which produces mutual non-difference in all things. That's why Rupa Goswami explains Vajrasvita Sindhu, the fourth limb of bhakti is Vishram Vainar Gaur Seva. One should serve the Guru with a feeling of non-difference, mutual non-difference in all things. This Vishramba allows unity of emotion between friends. It's said to be trust, Vishramba. So Vishramba means you trust your heart with the heart of the Guru, and the Guru trusts his heart with the heart of the disciple. So that's the Vishramba. It's a very intimate and profound exchange of loving emotions between Radharani and Sakhi Mantris, and between Guru and Shishya. As a result of this deep trust, Vishramba, the heart of the Nayaka is known to the Sakhi. The servant of a Sakhi is called a Mandri, so she achieves emotional identity with Radharani. In this emotional communion, the Mandri shares in the Bhakti Ras Radha experiences in her relationship with Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that the Radha Krishna's Leela cannot take place without the help of the Sakhis. The Mandri becomes, interesting phrase he used, Mandri becomes plugged in, the Mandri becomes plugged into Radha's emotional experiences arising from her love affairs with Krishna. Since Radharani, by definition, is Ladini Shakti, the joyful, which means the joyful power of Krishna. That's a nice way to define Ladini Shakti, the joyful power of Krishna. What gives the greatest joy in this world? love. Loving relationship gives the greatest joy. So that joyful power of Krishna is Radharani. Because she's the greatest lover of Krishna. The nature of Sakis is the minds of the Sakis are never preoccupied with their own love play with Krishna. They're busy helping bring about the love play of Radha and Krishna and thereby attain pleasure millions of times greater than they would from their own direct love play. Radha Krishna's love leela is viewed and vicariously enjoyed by from the perspective of a supporting actress or a Manjari maidservant. Pretty interesting subject. We'll continue more about this. Next week we'll discuss the Citadel. Jaya. Thank you. So now...